Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good evening and welcome to Hoosier Huddles. After the dust settles, I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is Alex Compton. We're here to put a bow on the turd that was Indiana at Maryland. 44-17 loss. The Hoosiers fall 2-3, 0-2 in the Big Ten. IU enters the bye week. Already been some news. Walt Bell, the offensive coordinator, has been fired. Rod Carey comes in to take over the offensive coordinator duties. We'll talk about that. Alex, very familiar with Rod Carey, is also an NIU fan. So he'll let us in on what to expect from Rod Carey and, you know, whether or not this is enough to save the season. And right now, it feels like this is the end of the Tom Allen era in Bloomington, the beginning of it, if they don't, you know, turn around and get six wins this season. So, Alex, you only saw half the game, which is probably more than our listeners. And I don't blame you. What were your takeaways from you know, the first half against Maryland?
Yeah, first point, hashtag ban fall weddings. That was the first half of IU football I've missed in, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 years. So what was out of my hands, but yeah, I did watch the first half on my phone at a bar in Michigan, but extremely disappointing, I think, is the word. I'm not even mad at this point. I don't think you can be mad. I think we're approaching the dangerous territory that we kind of talked about in the offseason, where you're gonna end up with fans that are apathetic instead of fans that are mad and calling into the radio show and tweeting at the team and doing all that sort of stuff. I think you're going to approach the point now where you have fans that are completely checked out, kind of like the end of last season. So it's extremely disappointing. I think we felt like, not to say the season was saved, but the season was still on after IU escaped that Akron game. And you heard Allen talk about it in the weekly presser leading into Maryland about how he expected this to be their best week of practice of the season, and you would see a motivated and focused Indiana team, yada, yada, yada. And then three plays in the Maryland game, they have a touchdown. So similar story to the Louisville game, where you have a coverage bust almost instantly, leads to a super long pass play, and then they punch it in two plays later. But for a team that was supposed to be locked in and excited and motivated, you just can't have that. So a bunch of coverage busts. Maryland averaged 8.1 yards per play on Saturday, which is unacceptable for a defense that we gave a lot of credit to after the first 3 weeks. And I think deservedly so. They played five good halves of football. Take away the first half against Louisville, they played five pretty good halves of football to start the season. That, I think, is gone. I think the defense has been kind of exposed now. I think the issues we talked about with the inexperience at secondary and the lack of depth behind your two starters at linebacker has started to kind of show. Andre Carter, for all the, you know, hype, and I understand he draws a lot of double teams, the sack production just not really there yet. So that's been kind of a bummer. But yeah, pretty disgusting effort by the defense again. Gave up close to 500 yards. Tagovailoa threw for five touchdowns.
Ran for another one.
So he had, you know, six touchdowns. He got sacked one time. I don't know. It's tough. I thought the IU, the first drive was good, and I think if you score a touchdown on that first drive, you probably feel a little better. The play calling again and short yardage situations became an issue. And then, as we see, whether deserve it or not. And I think a lot of things you can point at Bell that were not great and need to be improved upon. Tom Allen, I think at this point, is now out of scapegoats, for lack of a better term. So we'll see. I'll touch on Rod Carey a little bit more later, but I think game wise, the first drive was good. I think Christian Turner looked good again, and that was it. And I'll touch more on what I think needs to happen under center, but after Jackson got named the starter, I said I didn't think anything that he showed in the first two games during that competition was better than Sorsby to have earned the job, and here we are. So already, back in the quarterback controversy land, and I think for whatever it's worth, all tape, all snaps accounted for, I think Sorsby has been better than Jackson through the bulk of the season so far, and he's the guy that I would start against Michigan, but we can talk more about that. But Sammy, I don't know. What did you see from the defense in this game?
Defense had a lot of busts, but they also weren't set up for success. Maryland had four drives start on Indiana's side of the 50. Three of them, I think, came inside the 35-yard line. That just can't happen. Mm-hmm. If your defense made some plays and held them to field goals and it's 9 points instead of 21, you might have a better chance. But, football is a complementary game. You got to pick each other up, and that didn't happen. The defense failed to create takeaways. They failed to create negative plays and havoc plays. Maryland had six explosive passes that went for 201 yards. That's over, that's not good. That's not good enough. And, to me, what's concerning, Nick Toomer was questionable, ended up playing in the second half. If he's not good enough to go in to start, I don't understand why he's playing in garbage time. Aaron Casey, uncharacteristically, two tackles, one tackle for loss. Offenses are now scheming up Indiana's defense, the adjustments need to be made.
I'm going to cut you off. That's what good teams do, and I'm not saying Maryland is a world beater. They haven't been. Their knock the last few years is they've been poorly coached. Teams at this level are going to make adjustments, and we haven't seen Indiana make adjustments in the last few seasons to stay effective week to week. And you said it. I think it's just tape now. There's tape out there on how to beat this defense, and you're seeing teams do it.
Yeah, and then you have, referees are not calling holding on Andre Carter. He needs to get over that and maybe find some new moves. But no, it's tough to blame him. He's a guy whose motor is going 100% of the time. It's the coverage bus coming out the first play of the game is mm-hmm. what's concerning. That's either a lack of focus, you didn't game plan right, or you're just outcoached, and none of those three things are good. For me, it's just IU, and for the past three seasons, have not been able to put a complete game together, not for four quarters, not for one quarter, not in any phase of the game. It's always something bust, whether it's a special teams bust, whether it's defensively, or maybe the offense doesn't get going. You give up a first play touchdown in the first three plays of the game. Jalen Lucas comes and gives you some life, getting the ball down to the 39-yard line with a nice return. Offense moves the ball a little bit and stalls out. Walt Bell calls the same play three times in a row. It works for, 7 yards the first two, gets stuffed on third down. That's what fans are frustrated over. It's okay, the play worked twice. Why are we going back to it a third time? Why not run play action off of it? You're going to have them biting and collapsing on the run. Run play action and things like that. To me, it might have been a move to change the narrative a little bit to put Sorsby in, but Taven Jackson, I thought against Indiana State, he had just better command of the offense against Indiana State and Ohio State than Brandon Sorsby. But the tools were production were essentially the same. And then he flashed that nice second half against Louisville. And he thought, okay, maybe they found something. And then comes out against Akron, does not play well, does not play well against Maryland, indecisive. He has guys open, just doesn't throw it early enough, doesn't set him up for success, hesitant to run the ball and things like that. They put Brandon Sorsby in. He has a nice game against the backups, but you're basically back to square one on who's your quarterback the rest of the season, who gives you the best chance to win. And I know there's a little bit of a discussion, whether it's between our group or I haven't been on the Pigs board in a long time, whether or not Dexter Williams is going to come and save this offense. And there are two things wrong with that. One, I don't know if the staff trusts Dexter Williams. You go back to the bowl game where he was a freshman, Jack Tuttle separates his shoulder, and Tom Allen and the offensive staff thought the best way forward to win that game was playing a one-armed Jack Tuttle. You also go back to the Wisconsin game where Jack Tuttle kind of gets knocked out, and you have Nick Sheridan afterwards thanking God that he came out of that tunnel because Dexter Williams is not ready to play. And then last year, you bench Connor Bazelak after the bye week. You put in Brandon Sorsby, or you start Jack Tuttle, who had already entered the transfer portal, who shouldn't have even been on the team at that point. And then you bring in true freshman Brandon Sorsby, and then it's Dexter Williams. So what's the trust level? Yeah, he had a nice game against Michigan State. They might have found something. He had a great start at Purdue.
One completed pass, though, right? That game, like
two or three completed passes. You know, whatever. I'm not going to take that game as an indictment on his passing. They just ran the ball.
Yeah.
Had a nice start on against Purdue. It looked like if he stayed healthy, maybe IU wins that game, or at least it's not 30-14 or 30-16, whatever the final score was. But he blows out his knee, and now you're counting on him to come back and lead the offense. I just don't buy it. I don't buy that the trust is there, and it's not fair to put that on Dexter Williams either.
Yeah, regardless of the trust, not fair to the guy to pin that on him or saving the season and saving Allen and all that stuff. But yeah, here's what I'll say. Growing up watching Northern Illinois football, very successful program the last 15 or so years, still follow the program, very familiar with Rod Carey. I joked on Sunday when the news came out with a few people, but they're, you know, what to expect. I hope you like 3 yard out routes on 3rd and 7. That was kind of a staple towards the end of his career. He did lead NIU to the Orange Bowl as the offensive coordinator when they had Dave Doran as the head coach before he went to NC State. So Rod Carey's been a head coach for many years. He gets it. I could care less about the he was an Indiana guy thing. I think it's cool. I think it has no impact on how competitive these guys are and how successful they want to be. Could care less that he played at Indiana, honestly. I don't think it affects my reaction or anything. I think anyone in that position will try to do a good job. So, but yeah, he runs the quarterback. I would say that's first and foremost. It's mandatory. I don't think it's a nice to have. Your quarterback has to be able to run in a Rod Carey offense. And you're going to see those exaggerated deep RPOs where the pulls are super late. We've seen that so far this season a little bit. Taven cannot do it. I don't think he's good at it. He is very bad at knowing when to pull the ball and run with it. And I don't think he reads the edge well at all of knowing when to give the dive and when to take it and run around the edge. Obviously, he's not slow, but I wouldn't say he's quick at all. So that'll be really interesting for me to see what they do during this bye week, because I do think you're going to have to be able to move and run the ball. He'll call like legitimate quarterback powers with a pulling guard to get first downs and 10-yard plays. And so he'll run the quarterback right up the middle. So you might see some pistol, which I think would be great. But yeah, I think the hallmarks of his offense are the running quarterback. I think you'll see shoddy play calling. He has kind of a base of about 10 plays that he always seems to run that he'll kind of vary up depending on how it's working or how defenses will do. The few good things, or, you know, some of the good things I will say, he will like literally force feed the ball to his best players until the defense shows you can stop it. So, I mean, there were many games for us. Jordan Lynch was obviously a freak talent at quarterback, but some of my favorite players at NIU were kind of your Shane Wynn guys, maybe undersized, but extremely dynamic with the ball. I mean, he will force feed guys the ball until the defense can stop it. So I think that's good. I think that's a good thing for your Jalen Lucases and your McCullies and those types of guys. But yeah, deep ball passing, outside passing, probably not going to be a strength. And I don't think that's probably even a strength of this team right now. So maybe that's a good thing, but I think you'll go kind of back to basics and run stuff that works throughout the game. But I don't know. I don't think it's going to make a massive improvement, I'll be honest. I think it's more of a structural thing and more of a program thing at this point, where you may need a bigger reset or a bigger change to kind of totally change the offense. And I think the thing that is unfortunate for me is that you see a lot of the times when you get rid of coordinators or teams are struggling, the head coach is able to step in and call plays. Tom has done that, obviously, for the defense. He's been, obviously, the defensive coordinator. I literally don't think he could call the plays on offense if he had to. But, I'm not a coach. I always say that. I don't act like I'm a coach. I never played football. But I don't know what the answer would be beyond Rod Carey. So we'll see what happens in the offseason. But, yeah, I think quarterback battle this bye week is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, and you know, you come out of the bye, you get Michigan, which is not going to be, not going to leave anybody with any great feelings and stuff like that. The game that stands out is the homecoming match against Rutgers. If you can't win that one, it's going to snowball till the end. You got Penn State after that, then Wisconsin. And then, you know, your final three games are kind of manageable with Illinois, Michigan State, and Purdue. All of them have not looked great this season. So if you could get Rutgers, you're sitting with a little bit of hope that maybe if you survive Penn State and Wisconsin, you could put something together, have more practice time, and get kind of recover to win one or two of those final three games and turn what has looked into what has been a tire fire into something where, okay, now you could discuss, do we give him one more year or do we cut bait? And it's right now, if you had to make the decision right now, if I'm the AD, the Allen era is over. That's what it is. There's no way forward. He's made the moves that he's needed to make. He's made them late. There is one move left to make, and that is it's over. But there are seven games left in the season. The narrative could still change. And it also changes. You have a $20.8 million buyout where, you know, the discussion around it is if you're a Big Ten program and you're going to take football seriously, you know, that number is just something you tell somebody to write on a check, not a complete non-starter onto whether or not to rebuild the program. But to me, Rod Carey made sense. He was on staff as an analyst. The whole interim tag, non-interim tag is nonsense to me. Who really cares? If he's nobody's doing a national search on October 1st during a bye week for an offensive coordinator. you know, he's been in the program now for 2 years. He's coached the offensive line. He knows the verbiage. The other option was going Anthony Tucker, but I think that's too much of Walt Bell with Anthony Tucker there as well. You got a guy who's been a head coach, a successful head coach, a successful coordinator, and is trying to, you're trying to stabilize that position right now and give yourself the best chance to win and maybe save your job. Outside of that, it could be a rough end of the season, but you know, you're sitting here just like week one saying, who's our quarterback? Can our defense in the secondary stop enough people to give our offense a shot, to put up some points? So, you know, the same questions that you'd hope would be answered by week six haven't been answered. And that's not a great sign. You know, and we'll get into the program health later in more depth as well, but it's just, I'm sick and tired of being the national joke on Monday Night Football, you know, 2 years running and stuff like that. And that's one of those things. And maybe this is just the person I am. I play that on loop in my office and it would piss me the hell off to where that's the last time they do it. That's the last time Troy Aikman pokes fun at Joe Buck about IU football and stuff like that. So, but that's just who I am. If that's who the people in the athletic department are, if they're okay with IU football, hey, we made Monday Night Football. But yeah, they just poked fun at you. That's not the publicity you want. There's no such thing as bad publicity. It's not the publicity that you want.
Yeah, I think we'll see what happens, but we could have, you know, different coverage if we have to think about that. Obviously don't want to think about that, but we'll see. I think for me, it always comes back to you could hire and fire coaches for as long as you want. If you're not going to do a total examination and a total reset of what you're doing from an investment,
absolutely,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You could replace a million head coaches if you're not going to spend on assistants, if you're not going to spend on recruiting, if you're not going to upgrade the stadium and Mellencamp and marketing. It doesn't matter. Like,
no, it's there's a reason why every single IU head coach has been fired or resigned or retired with a losing record. At no point has an IU football coach been so successful that they left for a bigger job. It hasn't happened. You can't play, you know, higher scared like that. And you're right, Alex. You need to invest in facilities. You need to take a look at your coaching pool, you know, the pool of money for assistants. You've got to look at your game day atmosphere. You've got to look at, you know, what revenue streams haven't you tapped into yet? We were at Maryland and they have their Terrapin Club, which is like the varsity club for IU, and they're doing 50-50 raffles. Now they only made like $4,500, but that's $4,500 that they didn't have. That is essentially free money. You have volunteers in the athletic department go around with signs taking money and selling tickets for $5. That's like a slam dunk layup type of thing.
I saw a clip of the game, the Oxford, when they played LSU over the weekend. Obviously, Ole Miss LSU a little different, but it was a night game. They had strobe lights on the stadium lights with flashlights or wristbands in the crowd with fireworks going off in between a quarter break. And I got angry because I was like, that will never happen. That literally,
no, they put in new,
like,
LED.
I was like,
lights
that looks so fun. I was like, that will never happen. Like,
they don't get the kind that do those shows. You know, it's stuff like that. It's announcing a blackout 4 days before and not selling any black t-shirts. Like, I know people want to blame the board of trustees and all that. That stuff should not take the board of trustees approval. If it takes to sell a black t-shirt the board of trustees approval, you're doing something wrong. You know, maybe you need to reevaluate your relationship with Adidas. You have to look at your marketing department. You have to look at your licensing department. What can they change to, because announcing the black jersey, great. I thought they looked great. And then you couldn't buy one. And by the time that, impulse buy feeling wears off, they're not for sale. And nobody's going to buy them. Like, do you really want a black jersey now? Probably not. There's a lot of little things that go on with the football program that don't need the Board of Trustees approval that, you know, the athletic department has to do. And yeah, you might play one or two night games a year and use the lights only once or twice, but look, it's really cool when they do it. It is. You saw it at Nebraska last year with, I think they did it to Thunderstruck. Super awesome. It didn't take the Maryland had the lights too. It didn't really take effect because it's an afternoon game, but they have the capacity to do, everybody is doing it. Everybody. And it's just falling behind farther and farther, following that pattern that IU football has followed for the last 135 years or whatever, that needs to change. And, you know, whatever, I'm not even bringing up basketball because it's honestly, it's irrelevant. It is irrelevant to what happens with IU football. They need to go visit other places, go see what other places are doing, and bring those ideas here. The on-field suites, great. You know what? They're bringing in a couple $100,000 a year. That's a revenue stream that was untapped. The fan survey, the making clubs, great. Fine. That should happen. It just needs to be accelerated. You need to hit your layups and then worry about, okay, what do we need to do to fix the product on the field too? Because unless you fix the product on the field, all those upgrades, it doesn't matter. I mean, it really doesn't matter. But you need to do them both at the same time, because just in case IU is good and fans come back, you have all the bells and whistles ready to go. You have those suites that people want to buy. You have the light show that, you know, gets students to the game and things like that. You have the upgraded facilities. You have bathrooms that don't leak. You have a press box that's not from the 1960s. It's, you know.
Yeah, it's the classic chicken and egg argument, right? Like, do you have to get good before you do all that stuff? Or do you do all that stuff and then hope people come and then you get good? I would say
you have to build the nest.
We're not good. So you
may as well do the other egg.
You may as well do the other one because we're not good. So. Yeah.
You have to build the nest and build a home before you have an egg and before you could have a chicken. And that's what you need to do. So build the nest, then you could have a healthy egg and a healthy chicken. And you just, you know, you hope for the best, but you have to set up whoever comes in next, whenever they come in, for success. You look at Kansas. I think Leopold had it in his contract that they spend so much money on upgrades and stuff like that. That, I mean, that's the future of college football, and there's going to be more conference realignment. I don't think IU gets booted from the Big Ten, but I could tell you, if they ever go to these super divisions or whatever, they're going to look at your investment into the program, your investment in facilities and things like that, you know, to gauge how successful you might be and how wanted you are. So it's frustrating. It's a frustrating time to be an IU football fan because we were there. You had 2019, you had 2020, and I don't really give a crap what people think of the COVID season. It happened. They kept score. It's in the record books and stuff like that. But you had two seasons where you go, okay, this is what it's like to have a competent football team. And it was fun and people bought in, and it wasn't even a gradual drop. It was just straight off the edge of the mountain and super quick. And it just, they haven't gotten it back. To me, that's the question. Can you get it back under Tom Allen? And that's the question that every single person who's making that decision in the athletic department has to be asking themselves the rest of the season. Can we get this turned around? If we do all these things and invest in the program, can he still turn it around? And I right now my answer is no.
Yeah, we'll see. And unfortunately, I've been like thinking of names and looking at names and It's not fun.
Can we throw one name out in the garbage?
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. I do not want Antoine Randle-El at all. I get
the guy,
it.
Love the guy, IU legend, but for all these people who are criticizing Tom Allen as high school coach, doesn't have enough experience, didn't do a national search, Antoine Randle-El is a position coach in the NFL, has never been a coordinator, hasn't called plays, never been a head coach. He is not IU's version of Coach Prime. Coach Prime was a head coach at one of the top prep schools in Texas, which is like being at a small college. He was the head coach at Jackson State, had two really, really good years down there, went in, and now is at Colorado. We'll see how long he's at Colorado before he makes another jump. To a higher level team. But it's, again, one, why are you trying to copy something that it is almost impossible to copy? No, there's no other Coach Prime. There's not.
They're 3-2.
They're 3-2, but there's no other Coach Prime.
No offense to ARE. Like, the name is not the same. Like, it's a different level of name. So it's not even like you're going to get national recruits that are like, oh, I have to go play for that guy.
No, you're going to have a couple people who watch IU football in the 90s go, oh, I remember that guy.
Program builder. What you need to do is pay up and hire a guy that's established at a Power 5 school, which you know we're not going to do because, we're not going to pay the buyout and then pay, what, a $7-plus million annual salary. And then you probably need at least $10 million for an assistant pool that guy would want to even think about coming. It'll always be there. The interest in the job will be there as long as you're in the Big Ten. And there's a price for everything. So regardless of the history, and I think guys are that competitive where they would say, I'm the guy to fix it. But if you're not going to invest and pay what you need to attract a quality assistant pool, as we've seen the effect that has had on the program, right? When you had the coordinators that are now head coaches, you've seen the effect that having good coordinators can have. If you're not going to do that, it doesn't matter who you hire. So you see it all over college football. You could hire any guy, really, if you don't have the money in the support system, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Nick Saban right now could not make Indiana dominant. No way. With the current setup, if you swap Allen for Saban, no shot. No shot. So I think you're fighting an uphill battle. And I think if you get to that point, again, I think there are still winnable games on the schedule. And I don't want to sound like the optimist guy because I'm as frustrated as anybody. The season's not over. It's obviously not what you wanted to see against Maryland. But if you end up at a point where we're looking at names and writing those kind of articles, I think it goes beyond who you hire as head coach, and it has to go to what are we doing? Are we serious about this? Blah, blah, blah. And as a few people have told me, history would tell you no, so why do you care? Yeah, I can't argue really with you. But so we'll see. I don't know. But yeah, throw Antoine Randle-El out. Don't want that. Love Kane Womack. Don't want that. Has to be an offensive guy. I don't think you're going to go with another rah-rah LEO guy. Everyone was like, hire him right now after they beat Oklahoma State, and then they lost last week to like Troy or something. So, everyone saw week to week in college football, but the trends right now for Tom Allen's program are not good. So it's hard to not be week to week in college football or football in general, but the trends right now are bad. And you have to turn them around or there's going to be some very difficult conversations.
Yeah. It's some super, super difficult conversations have to be made anyway. Even if you stay the course with Allen, you need to make improvements, not only facilities wise, but how you go about things in the athletic department, your pool of pay for assistant coaches, how you market the program, how you go about raising NIL funds for football and things like that. And I'm starting to believe that NIL funds, at least for now, until they go to a revenue sharing model, NIL funds might be more important than having a football only weight room and things like that. So, we'll see. This is kind of what makes college football interesting, is that you know, we've seen programs go down thinking about firing the coach and all that stuff, and all of a sudden they get hot and go on a run, and it turns things around. There's still seven games left of the season, with some winnable games: Rutgers at Illinois, Michigan State at home, and then of course the bucket game up in West Lafayette. And you know, there's still some time to turn it around, but time is running out. It is the, not to sound cliche, but it is the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter of Tom Allen's tenure, and it kills me to say that, because he's a guy who has been successful at IU. He's the fifth or sixth winningest coach in IU football history. He's had some really good moments here, but you know, at some point, time runs out on everybody, and time is starting to run out on Tom Allen. So we'll see if the team responds. We'll see how the adjustment to Rod Carey goes. Hey, it's a week without Indiana football, so enjoy the college football. And I don't think we have any fall weddings this weekend.
Yeah, this would be the weekend for a wedding, unfortunately. But yeah, couple last ones. I think Mason Williams, he does a nice job on Twitter covering IU, but he had a stat. IU is 2-18 in the last 20 Big Ten games with Tom Allen, with an average margin of defeat of like 22.2 or something. I mean, that's like what a MAC school would do. Like, you would say, like, Northern Illinois is 2-18 in their last 20 games against Big Ten schools. I think NIU probably has a better record and spread in their last 20 games against Big Ten schools than IU does. So that one's tough. And then the other one for me was nice to see Punt John Punt back out on the IUFB Twitter sphere. They filled a nice void of kind of the take away all the crap and the anger and frustration and look at the numbers. Numbers aren't great. So, you know, but nice to see them. I don't know them. I don't know who they are, but always appreciate reading their stuff. But yeah, it was, I don't know, good to see Cameron Perry, I guess, but catch a few passes on Saturday. But we'll see what happens with the bye week.
We'll see. That could also be one of the byproducts of changing coordinators, is you get personnel changes.
Yeah.
That could be one. That's, you know, I'm not super excited for them to play Michigan, but I'm kind of intrigued at how they run out there and what changes they make. So anyway, that does it for tonight's After the Dust Settles. I know it's been a while, but there was a lot of dust this week that needed to settle. You know, a big loss, a firing of a coordinator, and, you know, oh, to bury the lead here, Alex, IU Kentucky basketball is back, if anybody actually cares.
We got bullied into giving up a home game.
Yeah, so it is what it is. We'll be back next week. Oh, no, we won't be back next week. We'll be back after the Michigan game. IU travels up to Ann Arbor to play Michigan. Noon game, the big noon game on Fox on October 14th. And we'll be back to break it down after that on Sunday. So enjoy your full week of college football. We've got CUSA Wednesdays now to preempt November action. I think, and this is a stat everybody could like, I think starting tonight, there are 49 straight games or days with either college or NFL games. So, you know, the next 7 weeks are exciting.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car right in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.